Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Menachos Daf Kuf Aleph. But perhaps let's back up to the beginning of the parak, beginning of the Mishnah here on Kuf Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. We'll start from the beginning of this discussion of this topic, which will give us a more complete perspective on today's discussion. So we have a Mishnah which begins with Hamanoches, just briefly. Hamanoches v'nesachem shnitmu, so we learned this yesterday. We have mincha material or nesachem wines which had become tamei shnitmu before they really got the higher level of kedusha. So as we discussed yesterday, there are two levels. In general, there are two levels of kedusha regarding carbon materials. We have something called kedushas damim. It's monetarily kadosh as per its value, so it belongs to Hedish, but it was not yet placed in a Kli Sharis, in a holy vessel, to give it that added level of Kedushas HaGuf, of inherent Kedusha. So, typically, when something is merely Kedushas Damim, it's monetarily Kaddish, that allows for Pidyon, allows for redemption. You can switch it out, transfer the Kedusha onto money, and then use the money to purchase new material, and use the old material for yourself. Typically, when something arrives at the higher, attains the higher level of Kedushas HaGuf, for instance, once something is placed in a Kli Sharis, that endows it with a greater level of Kedusha. Now it becomes inherently Kaddish. It's en route to the Mizbeach. It's already relating to Mizbeach. It's Mizbeach carbon material. It's inherently Kaddish. That doesn't allow for Pidyon. We have one exception, of course, which is an animal. Although an animal is deemed Kedushas HaGuf, once you have magdish the animal for a carbon, it's fit for carbon, it doesn't have to go into Kli Sharis to become Kedushas HaGuf. Nevertheless, if it gets a mum, it gets a blemish, the pasuk clearly, the Torah clearly provides that option of pidyon, of redemption. You could switch it out and replace it with another carbon. But in general, pidyon only applies to Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas HaGuf. Says the Mishnah, Menachos v'nesachem shnitmu, you have mincha or nesachem material which became tamei, you want to switch it out, can you? Achaloi kitchi b'kli, before it got that added sanctity by being placed in a Kli Sharis. So at this point, it's merely has a merely a limited level of Kedusha, Kedushas Damim. Then Yesh Lam Pidyon. Sure, you can be paid. However, Mishia Kitchub Kli, once it was inserted into a Kli Sharis and it acquired the higher level of Kedusha, inherent Kedusha, Ein Lam Pidyon, it can no longer redeem it. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'ayfes. There are other items as well which don't allow for pidyon. Ha'efais, bird carbonis, va'etzim, firewood for the mizbeach, va'levoinam, klei sharis, the actual klei sharis themselves, even mishanitmu, even if they became tummy, you want to switch them out? Ein lan pidyon, you can't do that. Why should I name a pidyon al-behema? The more we'll explain item by item why you can't, and the Mishnah actually concludes with an interesting point that other than a behema, which although it already has klushas haguf, will allow for pidyon if it becomes blemished, as the pasuk clearly allows, we'll see later. But other items which have acquired the higher level of Kedusha, Kedushas HaGuf, cannot be transferred or redeemed. Amar Shmuel. So we speak about Kedushas Damim allowing for redemption. So the question is, why is he redeeming it? Why is he switching it out? Why is he transferring it? Did it become tamei? Did it become deficient? Or is it just that he'd like to use this material for himself and switch it with others? Amar Shmuel, yeah. He has a license. He can do whatever he wants. Even if the mincha is toher, there's no real reason for him. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. Niftin, he can still be paida. He can take the kedusha, transfer it onto something else, and use it for himself. My time, why? He says, look, why not? Kama delay kachibakli. Prior to the material being kaddish in a Kli Sharis, meaning while it's still only has a limited kedusha of kedushas damim, then you're free to be paida, regardless of the circumstance. Kedushas damim ninu, and therefore kedushas damim niftni can be paida. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? But the Mishnah clearly speaks only about something which was tamei, but nitmutna. Mishnah clearly indicates that pidyon is only as a result of it becoming tamei and disqualified. No, uadin afgav lenitmu, the same would apply even without the tumah factor. It's not a prerequisite, not a precondition for allowing pidyon. The reason why the Mishnah even mentioned Tumah, it was simply meant as a counterpoint, to contrast to the next part of the Mishnah. V'aydi dekaboy, Mishnah Sefa, since the Mishnah was going to proceed and tell us the contrast point, that Mishnah Kitcha Bekli, yeah, when it's only Kedushas Damim, you can be paid, but once it's Kitcha Bekli, and it got elevated to inherent Kedusha, Einlan Pidyon, you can't do Pidyon, and the Chiddush there is that Filo Nitmu, Namilo, that even if it came Tame, which would be, you know, legitimate reason for Pidyon, no, you can't, once it arrived at that level of Kedusha. So since the Mishnah wanted to highlight that that Aloha, Taninami Resha, on account of that, the Mishnah initiated with a reference to Tuma, that Shenitmu, that it became Tomei, and actually Kitchen Bekli, before it became Kitchen Bekli, it could be Paidud, but it wasn't really needed for its own self. Halacha, who was just meant as a lead-on for the counterpoint. That even if it's Tomei, you can't be Paidud once it arrives at the higher level of Kedusha. Says the Gemara, but that also is obvious. It's not really needed for its that halacha, that point is self-evident. Pshita, obviously. Kedusha saguf ninu. Once they were inserted in a kli sharis, they become kedusha saguf. And of course, it can't be paida. Look, it's simple logic. Pidyon only applies to something which is monetarily kaddish. So it's about the value. So you transfer the value, but something which is inherently kaddish, you can't switch it out. No, says the Gemara, it's not so simple. Perhaps I would think you could, because if it becomes tummy, you know, it's like an animal that got blemished, which the Torah clearly allows us to switch out. So perhaps a mincha that became tummy, even if it was kedusha zaguf, like an animal which is zaguf and still could be paid, so the fact that it became tummy, it's like blemished and you couldn't switch it out. Saka, daita hamina, perhaps I would think. Hail ubal mumikri tummy, we find that the Torah relates to a blemished animal like a tummy. Torah calls them a tummy, as we'll see in a minute. We have the pasuk coming up. So perhaps these terms are interchangeable. Tummy, nami. Likewise, a mincha which became tummy is like a blemished animal, kubamum dummy. And therefore, even if it's kedusha saguf, like the animal is, you couldn't be paid of avagav the kodesh kedusha saguf. So just like by the animal, which is already kedusha saguf, that's the way it is, because it doesn't need. It's not lacking the klisharis. The animal doesn't go into klisharis. So it's already kedusha saguf. It's already destined for the mizbeach, as is. Kinafel be'mum mifrik. Still, at all, if it got blemished, you can be poide, you can redeem it. Haninami, here as well, by the mincha, lufroik, you can redeem these items. Because they became tummy. And tumma and balmum are synonymous. Kamash balon. Comes the Mishnah and says, no, the love ki hai tummy. It's not this type of tummy which the Torah relates to Balmum, Kai Rachman al Balmum. When the Torah calls an animal, a blemished animal like Tummy, it's not this brand of Tumah, not this type of case. Our case is where the Mincha has already entered a Klisharis. That's a different story. That's even a higher level than a regular Klisharis Haguf. It's like you have three levels. You have Klisharis Damim, basic, you have Kedushas Haguf, like an animal, which is, then you have something which was already in a klisharis. Klisharis serves a mizbeach. It's already mizbeach material. It's on its way. It's being served. That's a totally different level. And more continues on the next page. The klisharis lay ashkan the mifrak. We don't even find by an animal. Once it encountered a klisharis, once it experienced and interacted with a klisharis, Rashi says, let's say the shchita, which takes place with a knife, which is a klisharis, had already interacted with the animal. After shchita, the animal went sour. You can't redeem it. You can't switch it out. You have to burn it. Likewise, in our case, once the mincha material has arrived in a klisharis that was totally elevated to a level of kedusha saguf, which doesn't even allow pidyon, even if it's tummy. Okay, so we did make mention of the fact that the Torah relates to a blemished animal as a tummy. Where do we find that to be so? Ubal mum. A blemished animal, heche ikri tummy. Where does the Torah call it a tummy? The son, we have a brisa which quotes a pasuk. Im kol beim atmeya, shalo yakru b'menu korban Hashem, which can't be brought as a korban. The pasuk continues that you switch it out, that you redeem it. Now, beim atmeya can be an elephant, can be another donkey. No, bebalei mumen. We're speaking about kosher animals that were blemished and they were called tummy sheniften, which allows for pidyon. But that's the topic in the pasuk. Ah, to Oyma, you're insisting Bibali Mumashi Yipadu, the Torah is now speaking about blemished animals being switched out. Or Yeino Yela Bimemut Mamish, perhaps the Pasuk is speaking about a non-kosher animal, but not about. But that's already covered in a different Pasuk. Kishu Aimu, when the Pasuk continues, Vim Bimehema Tmeya. So, Bimehema Tmeya switched out, so that's. You redeem it. So that pasuk relates to an actual non-kosher animal. If you magdish it, you redeem it. So what's the point of the other pasuk? Hamani mekayimim kol behemot meya. So what's the point of the first pasuk? Apparently, it's speaking about a kosher animal, which happens to be blemished. And the Torah labels it as tmeya, disqualified. Okay, so now we learn that a behema, which is klushas aguf, behemot Torah, which is meant for a carbon, gets a mum, could switch it out. It gets sort of downgraded, allows for redemption. No, what type of blemish are we speaking about? Yochel, perhaps Yipadu, you can redeem them. Amum ayu, even for a passing blemish. Tamaloyimar, Ashaloy, Akriv, Menu, Karmel, Hashem. The Pasuk says, we're speaking about an animal which is permanently disabled from being brought as a carbon, which means it has a permanent blemish, which makes it unfit for all time. Misha ena kreva la Hashem kolika, only an animal which cannot be brought at all. Yozuzu, as opposed to an animal which has just a passing blemish, shena kreva yem, although you can't offer it today, but you could after it heals. Kreva lumachar, you can do it tomorrow, and therefore it does not qualify for pidyon. Okay, now let's refer back to the beginning of our sugya. Shmuel issued a statement, a big chiddush. Items which are merely kedushas damim allows for pidyon even without much of a legitimate, you know, reason. Even if it's tar, you can switch them out. We have a question on that. Moisiv Rav Huna Bar Manoah. I had a question on Shmuel from a part of our Mishnah which we just learned. So the latter part of our Mishnah presents a listing of items which don't qualify for pidyon, right? Ha'ifais, bird karbonos, va'etz and firewood for the mizbeach, va'lavoina, the spice, va'kavishareis. Even though they became tummy, ain't lo in pidyon, you can't do pidyon. Shalay never pidyon, el behemah, you can only buy behemah. Now, let's try to analyze, case by case, item by item, what's wrong? Bishleima oifes, kedushas aguf ninu, I understand why you can't switch out a bird, because a bird which is in itself destined for a carbon, it's called kedushas aguf. And even if it gets a mum, you can't do pidyon. Why? Bilei nemar el behemah. We only find that Torah allows a behemah, which is a balas mum, to be switched out. Okay, so that's checked off. I understand. But what about the other items? Ela eitzim, ulavoyin, uklesharis, livruku. Why can't you redeem it? El lavashim utayim ba'amay neftin. Oh! Apparently, because typically, even kedushas hadamim cannot be switched out for no legitimate reason, just like that. So when they're tahir, you can't be paid to them. Elalav, it must be mishum de tohir and ba'amu, because typically items which are tohir, and if you can't switch them out, b'hanei namin, that's why these as well, eitzim, levoina, klei shareis, since there is no real legitimate reason to switch them out, that's why you can't do it. Avagav de nitmo, even if they became tameh, really they're still tohir, because only food or vessels can become tameh. A piece of wood, a levoina, it's not edible material, can become tohir. Ketohirim dama, they're like tohir, they're unaffected by their encounter with tuma. Why? The etim levoina, for instance, the wood and the levoina, not fit for consumption. Just what? Actually, there is a halacha that items which are meant for mizbeach, even if they're not technically edible or food, elochibas hakodesh, their elevated, prominent kedusha status, chibas, the dearness that comes along with kedusha, mashul uchla considers them like food. It elevates them in a way to food status, and they're now susceptible to tumah. However, only once they become fit for hakrava. So when it comes to the firewood that we're talking about, that's not yet fit unless it's sanded down and prepared for the mizbeach to eat some. So the firewood that we're talking about, kamo, as long the lawyer as not mishapu, that he smooths them out, sands them down, the gzirin, into blocks, into appropriate sized and shaped and fitting for the mizbeach firewood, loy miskashu, they're not going to be susceptible to tumah. So even if they touch tumah, they stay tar, they're immune. And levayna nami, levayna as well, kamo loy kitcha b'kli, before it was put in a kli, in preparation for akrava, b'klisharis, loy miskasher, is not going to be susceptible to tumah. So even if they should encounter tumah, they're immune. And that would explain why you can't be poida, because you can't be poida something which is tar. In contrast, the shmos halacha. And next would be the klisharis, namidir as well. Even if they did become tameh, as the Mishnah speaks about, something which is tameh, but it's not permanently tameh. Hoil v'islu tar b'mikvah, since you can just throw the klisharis in a mikvah, it would become tar. So we disregard the, you know, the temporary tumah status that it's experiencing. So bottom line is, if we don't go with Shmuel, Shmuel says that Kedushas Damim could be nifta even without tumah, even if they're tar. How does he explain the Mishnah? Which seems to say that items which are Kedushas Damim, Eitzim is Kedushas Damim, Levoina is, and Klisharis as well, by the way, it's an ironic, because Klisharis is what gives Kedusha to the content within it. So it elevates its content into Kedushas Haguf, but in itself, the vessel in itself, the container itself is Kedushas Damim, it's just like any other possession belonging to Heglish, very interesting. So it can give Kedushas Haguf, but it in itself is merely Kedushas Dam. But in any case, you can't be part of these items because there's no reason to. They're not Tamei. The Eitzim and Levoin at this early stage aren't Tamei, and the Klisharis can be cleansed of its tomb. Apparently. Unless something is really disabled and unfit for service, something which is like tamei that can't be fixed. Unless that happens, you can't be poida. That's not like Shmuel. Says the Marloi, no, lo'elom emeluch, I can still insist. Like Shmuel, toirim ba'alma niftin. Typically, item which is kedushas damim, even if it's toir, you can switch it out. So why can't you buy these? Oh, these are special, unique, scarce items. And due to their scarcity, Chachamim don't allow you to switch it out. Once we have it, they don't let you take it back home. These items aren't really commonly found. To find, you know, good Levoina, to find Klishar, I mean, so once these things are committed to the process, they have to stay here. Bishlem Levoina, Uklishar, I understand Levoina is something hard to come by, Klishar is, yeah. But wood? I mean, local forest. Eitzim Mishkech Shechich, you can find them all around. The answer is no. High quality wood is hard to come by. Eitz and nami, even by wood. Kivin do amaraz, we learned it has to be unblemished without worms. Kol eitz, any block of wood shenimtza by telas where a worm was discovered in, possibly can't use it. Legabim is bas. Therefore, hilchach. Therefore, lishchich. They're not so commonly found, not so accessible, and therefore chachamim prevent us from switching them out. Unnecessarily. Okay, so in general, according to Shmuel, an item which is merely Kedushas Damim that allows for redemption, even without any Tumah factor at play. But we did make exceptions for scarce items. Amrav Papa. Says Rav Papa, you know, had Shmuel heard the next price, he would have changed his mind. He would not have allowed us to switch out items which are fit for Mizbeach. Amar Papa Yishmele, the Shmuel of Shmuel would have heard Hadassani the following price, which says like this: Hamatfis tamimim vedekabayis. If a fellow takes an unblemished animal and instead of bringing it as a carbon, he says, "You know, I'm going to give it to the building fund. I'm going to donate it to the building fund." So now the gizbar, the administrator, has nothing to do with a sheep running around in his. So he wants to sell it, wants to switch it out, and use the money for, you know, maintenance. The halacha is you can't just sell it to any customer. Ein poidin oisan el mizbeach. You have to be poided only in a manner which will keep it on the mizbeach track. Find a customer who needs this type of animal for a carbon. Why? Shekol aroyel mizbeach, with something material which is fit for mizbeach cannot be taken off that track. Ein oyotze de mizbeach leilam, can't leave the mizbeach track. And the point is, v'hafagav the kedushas damim ninu. Now we're talking about kedushas damim, even though it's an animal, but it was meant for the building fund. That's kedushas damim. Still, we disallow any diversions. A niftin, you can't just redeem it, send it away, and Hoyle tahirim him, since they're fit for mizbech, you have to keep them here. If Shmuel would have heard this halacha, he would have changed his mind. He would have agreed that something which is fit for mizbech can't just switch it out. Veloy, actually, it's incorrect. Shmuel Levi Le'adrabai, he heard about this halacha, and he still stuck to his guns. He didn't change his mind. You know why? Because in general, you could switch things out, but by animals, due to their scarcity, hard to come by. A good, unblemished animal. So the Chachamim don't allow us to switch it out. You have to keep it in the Mizbeach territory. Right? Lav Amrus Hasam. Didn't you just tell me over there a minute ago regarding that other Mishnah? Regarding those materials discussed earlier. Kivin lo shchichi, since they're not commonly found in Mifrak, you can't just redeem them and send them out. Hachinami, here's all by the animals. Kivin shchichi mumin, since it's common to find, you know, blemishes. Even a slight blemish disqualifies an animal. The pasl behem, which disqualify an animal. Afilu beduga shebaayinami pasl, even some sort of issue with his eyes, would disqualify. So, hilkach l'shchichi is considered scarce to a certain extent, and therefore, once it's here, we leave it here. Okay, it's end of the day. Shmuel maintains that Kedushas Damim allows for pidyon even if it's tar. Rav Kahana Omar, he disagrees with Shmuel Tmei, and yeah, if they became Tami Niftin, you switch them out. But Tahirim, a Niftin. V'chein Rav Eishio, he also agrees with that, Tmei Niftin, Tahirim a Niftin. In disagreement with Shmuel, there was another version of Rav Eishio, that actually he adopted Shmuel's approach, Afil Tahirim Niftin, if it's merely Kedushas Damim, even though it's committed to the Mizbeach, you can decide to switch it out, even though it's still Tahir and fit. Rav Lezer Omer, he says like this. In concept, I disagree with Shmuel. Kulon Tmei Niftin. Tahir Ein Niftin. Mizbeach material can only be switched out if it's Tamei, but not if it's Tahir. But there's an exception to the rule. Chutz Masiru Seifa Shal Mechas Choytei. Sharei Omer Tahir Mechatosoi Al Chatosoi. Rashi explains it like this. So a Choytei is a fellow who sinned. He went to the Migdash when he was Tamei. He has to bring a carbon. This carbon is a very interesting carbon. It's a fluctuating carbon. It's adjustable, depending on his abilities, financial abilities. So, at the least, he donates a package of flour for a mincha. Let's say his fortune's improved, he's rocket rich. He's meant to add al chatasai. So switch out the flour and use the money to buy a bird, a set of birds. If he's really doing well, you take the birds and switch it up to an animal. And likewise, on the downside, if he set aside an animal and then he can't really handle it, so he switches down to a bird, down to the mincha. So we see from here that even if it's perfectly suitable material, you have the mincha material which he had designated for a mincha, but since he can afford more, he upgrades. He switches out the flour, gets the money, and buys. So in that case, the Torah clearly allows for this upgrade-downgrade system, which entails pidyon, even though the material is still fit and tar. Okay, another halacha from Rabbi Yishya. Shamati, I heard from my teachers, I learned that pigel b'mincha, suppose there's a mincha that became pigel. Okay, he did a kmitza, planning on eating it next week. It's pigel. It's not pasul, you can't eat it, you gotta burn it. It's asur b'hano, you can't have any benefit from it. So according to Rabbi Shimon has an interesting shita. You know, which items can become tummy? We know food can become tummy, we know vessels, kalim can become tummy, but something which is not food or vessels typically is not tummy. Now, what qualifies as oichel? What's considered food? Something which is edible, right? Kontem shimen. There's another condition as well. It has to be permissible. So something which is asr bahamno'a, you can't have benefit, in which case you can't even feed it to a guy. That doesn't qualify as food with respect to Tumas Oichlin, and it's immune from Tumah. Says Rabbi Yishya, I have an example for you. Mincha, which is Pigel. Asr Bahano. This is not Tumas Oichlin, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Eino Mitame Tumas Oichlin. It's not as we find in the Mishnah, which presents a comprehensive list of forbidden materials, which are also even Bahano, Ha'arla, right? Fruit from the first 3 years of growth, glad kerem, something which grew in a mixed vineyard, turned tamid beis, vishah harnisko, an animal which attacked a person and was condemned to death by the bezin. Now Rashi points out, we're not speaking after death, that the animal is already stone, because at that point, that animal, a carcass, is an avail. Of course it's metame because it's an avail. So we want to find cases where it wouldn't have another source of tumma, aside from the fact that it's classified as food. But even there, since it's forbidden food, asur bahano, it's not metame. So Shaar Niskal Rashi points out, it's not talking about after it's dead, that it's then it's an avail. We're talking that it was condemned by the Bezdin. And now he approached the animal, he shechted it. So now it's technically food and edible, but since it's asur bahano, why is it asur bahano? Because it was condemned. So according to Rav Shimon, it's not metame tumas oichel. Another example, the galrufa, the calf which is meant to be beheaded, because of the victim that was found, etc. So now, it was not beheaded yet. Again, because in that case, it's certainly an avail, it's metame, but we're talking that it's shechted. It was taken down to the area, became asur bahano, then it was shechted. It's per mitzur, the birds of a mitzur as well. But the chamor, firstborn donkey, that was an interesting case. So again, it can't be an avail, because then of course it's metame. It's metame as an avail. Every dead animal is metame. Now, to shecht it, that's tricky. Because if you shecht it for Yisrael, a shechita doesn't really help it much. Yisrael can't eat a donkey, so the shechita is not really considered a successful shechita. Rashi says, we're talking that he shechted it for the sake of a goy. A goy could eat a donkey, not a live donkey. He can't eat even menachais. He needs shechita. But we're speaking that he shechted it, but it hasn't yet fully died yet. It's for a chesed, so throwing. So it's so in between life and death. It's not yet an avela. Because if it was, then it would be metame as nevela, then it wouldn't be part of our discussion. And it's not live, then it's not food. It had shechita, but it's not yet dead, just in case. Ubasar b'chalav, okay, the final case is a mix of milk and meat, which is asar b'ano, according to this shechita. Kula metame tumas oichon, Tanakama says, well, whether it's edible, inedible, mutter, food is food. Shimon Omer, no, cool on all these cases are ain metam to masaychem because they're not mutabano. But he concedes on the last case of basa b'chalava. Moide, Rabbi Shimon basa b'chalava. He says, there I agree. Shemetam to masaychem. You know why? Although currently speaking, it's asur b'hano. Hoyel v'hoy saloi shasa kosher. It had a moment in time that it was edible, that it was fit. What was that? Says Rashi, the Yisra no only kicks in when it's cooked together. But while it's still soaking, let's say you soaked milk and meat, it's a mix of milk and meat and it's still mutar bahano. That's the moment in time where it was still suitable, shasa kosher. And once it attained the status of food at that moment, it doesn't lose it, even though later on it became asur bahano. That's Rav Shimon's idea. Okay, so 2 points. Says Rav Shimon, asur bahano cancels the food status regarding to Masa Eichlin, unless it had a Shasa Kosh. Vomer Vasi, or Rabbi Yechon, my time to Rabbi Shimon, where's Rabbi Shimon coming from? Why is food dependent on edibility? Mikolo Eichla Sheya Ochel, food that Ye Ochel will be eaten, can be offered to even a Goy. Then it qualifies as food regarding Tuma, which is discussed in that Pasuk. Eichla Shata Yochel Achil Acherim, food which can serve others. Then it's called kore oichel, but oichel food which is asur bahana, which you can't really serve your guest, you can't have anah from it. Shiyata yochel achil achirim, you can't even serve it to a guy. Ein kore oichel is not called food regarding tumas oichel. Okay, fine. How does that relate to us? Because we spoke about a mincha which became pigel, which is also asur bahana. Vaha pigal b'mincha, a case where there was a mincha that became pigal. If he was mefagal the mincha, nami oichel shi'i ato yochel achid achirim u'tasu b'ana. So it's immune from tumas oichel and kontra b'shem. I asked the Gemara Yochi. Let's go back to the Brisa for a moment. If so, basa b'chal of nami. Why does Rav Shimon have to say basa b'chal of an exception? Because it had shasa kosher, had a moment in time that it was edible, that it was roy. Nami typically doichel shi'at yochel achid achirim hu. Forget about that reason. There's a more basic, simple reason that it's considered food because you can feed it to a guy. It's not asur bahana. You can't eat it, but you can feed it. You can enjoy its benefits. Shat yochel achil achirim hu. Isanya. Doesn't it surprise you? Reb Shimon Yehuda, Reb Shimon himself holds that basa b'chalav is asur b'achil, although you don't eat it. Umot Zabari, you can have benefit from it. Shenemar, he am kodesh, he has a pasuk, am kodesh, atashem kecha. So the pasuk mentions am kodesh. In the context of basa b'chaloi sevashal gdi b'chalevi imay, we have a pasuk elsewhere which also mentions kodesh, v'anshe kodesh tiyumi, that's by the treifa, basa b'sa the treifa, l'sechel, don't eat it. But over there, there's certainly no isra hana. Malahalan, just like by the basa, which is treifa, asr b'achilu, umot b'ano, you can't eat, but you could benefit from it. Afkan, here is all, basa b'chaloi, although it's asr to eat, b'achilu, umot b'ano. So that should be sufficient reason to consider it food. It's mutar b'ano. Why does Hashem have to add the point of, you know, shasa kosher chada? You're right, there's a basic reason, which is that it's mutar b'ano. V'oid kamar, he's adding another point as well. Even if you say it's asr b'ano, I have another reason of shasa kosher chada. Firstly, do'ich lo shato yochal achil achirim. You can feed it. You can feed it to your dog. You can feed it to, right? Can have b'ano. Right? Because according to Reb Shimon, it's mutar b'ano. And therefore, it's called Eichel Shatu Yochel Achil Achirim. V'oid. Furthermore, even according to you, the day Nami, even according to you, the Chachamim. Sorry, the day Nami, even to the Yisrael himself, who can't, eat it, but Hoysel Shasa Kosher, it had the point of Shasa Kosher. In which case, once it acquired its food status, it doesn't lose it. And that's unique to basa b'chalav, as Rashi points out. A shor haniskal does not have shasa kosher. Why? You'll ask, what do you mean? Before it attacked the person, it was mutz. No, it's an animal. You can't eat an animal. So an animal be'etzem inherently is asr. Right? Also can't be tummy at that point. So it's not really a candidate for tumah at that point. It's just, but after it killed his victim, and that was shechted. Now you can say, well, now it's foodstuff. Well, shechted. Oh, no, because it's asr, because it was sharniskel, and it never really had a moment in time that it was really edible, so it doesn't qualify. As opposed to basar b'chalav. Firstly, it's not asr b'ano, according to Reb Shimon. Even aside from that, the milk, the meat themselves were mutter to eat before it turned basa b'chal. So it's called shasa kosh. Meis, here comes the question. So bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yoshia, he says that according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that Isra no preempts Tumas Eichlin, and that's why a mincha which had turned pigle, since it's asr b'ano, it has no tumas oichlan kontra b'shimon. Maybe it comes a kasher. B'shimon oimer. Oh, b'shimon himself is speaking in the brisa, and seems to say otherwise. Seems to say that even a mincha which is pigle is still considered food. It's still matami. B'shimon oimer. Yesh no yisar shu matami. So the brisa will address various psulim deficiencies that are found by korbanis, and determine which ones are considered food, which ones not, which ones lose their tumah, which ones don't. Rav Shimon Oimer, yesh noisa shu matami. Let's say the flesh of a carbon, stayed overnight, became noisa. In some cases, it's still matami, tumas oichlan, still retains its food status regarding tumah. Yesh noisa shu matami, tumas oichlan. Yesh noisa, in some cases, noisa is not. She'ein matami, tumas oichlan. Ketzad? How's that? It depends when the noisa kicked in. Londef Nezrika, suppose he shechted the carbon and he failed to do Zrika, which is the permitter, right? After Zrika, you can eat the carbon. Londef Nezrika, Lina kicked in before the Zrika, which means to say nighttime arrived before they did the Zrika. So this carbon never had a moment in time that it was edible. It never had a Shasa Kosher. Because the psul, i.e. Isser Hana, arrives before the carbon became edible. In which case, there's no Tumas Eichel. Has no Shasa Kosher. However, La'achas Rika, the Lina only occurred after Zrika, meaning he did the Zrika on the Mizbeach, which permitted the flesh for consumption. At that point, it was Mutzer. And then nighttime arrived, and Lina kicked in, Mitama Tumas Eichel, because it had a Shasa Kosher, even though currently it's Asr Bano. But since there was a moment in time that it was okay, and then it retains that status. Okay, so that checks off noisa. What about pigle? What happens to a carbon which turned pigle? Upigle, bein b'kadosh ha'kadoshim, Ben Mekadoshim Kalam, Einoi Metama Tumas Eichel, whether it's this type of karma, that type, Pigel, it's also Bano, there's no Tumas Eichel. The reason is because the, as we explained, the animal during its lifetime is not mutter, it's not food. And since the Isser of Pigel came upon it as soon as it became, you know, the process of the Akrova began, so the animal slid right into Isra Ano, which makes it non-food, a non-food entity. What about by a Mincha? Mincha is different. Pigel by Mincha. A Mincha which turned Pigel, Metamet to Masoichlan, is considered food. In contrast to Rabbi Yeshu, says it doesn't. It's not considered. That's a straight Kasha. Loi Kasha. We're going to answer it like this. There are two types of circumstances by Mincha. The Braisa, which considers it food, is speaking that it had a moment in time that it was edible. For instance, look, unlike an animal which is not edible during its lifetime, mincha material is comprised of wheat. Wheat is edible. So the stalk growing in the farm is edible. You harvest it, it's edible. Only afterwards you take it and turn it to a mincha and became pickle. You're right, now it's gone, but there were plenty of moments in time that it was edible. So that's called Shasa Kesha. It retains that food status. The Rav Eishah speaking that never had that opportunity. It never had a moment in time that it was edible. And how does that happen? How could that be? How could you say wheat never had a moment in time to see the light? What happened was he saw the wheat growing and he said, oh, it's Hekdesh. It's for my mincha. So at that point, it was already usher to eat. Right? So it never had a moment in the light. It never had a moment of edibility. And then when he processed it as a mincha and he perverted it, he disqualified it as pigol. So basically, it never had a chance. And therefore, it's not shasa kosher. Therefore, it's not food. It's not makabel tum. Says the Gemara, but still, but lefrakinu. Why are you saying it never had a moment of potential food? It you could be paid it. You can redeem it. So even though he labeled it as mincha material, even on the field, but before it was actually inserted into Kli Sharis, it's still Kedushas Damim, it's only monetarily Kaddish, and according to Shmuel, and one version of Raishia, you can be paid, you can redeem, you can switch out mincha material, which is tar. So since it has that potential for redemption, for switching out, i.e. for ordinary consumption by an ordinary person, that should qualify as shasa kosher and give it its food status. So now, honichalach lishna dam reishia tamei niftin. So if we go with the version of reishia that switching out is only allowed if it's tamei, but not if it's tahirin ein niftin. If it's tahir, you can't be paid the shapra. Okay, so that solves our issue. Since the wheat was tar, you had no excuse for switching it out, so it never had that potential. Elalach lishna de amar, but according to the other version of Rabbi Yeshua, that afilu tar niftin, that even if the wheat is tar, you can just switch it out for no good reason, right? Lefrakinu. So here as well, the mincha material had that ability to be switched out. That should qualify as shasa kosher, since potentially it could be switched, redeemed and consumed. So even though currently it's a mincha which is possible, who cares? But as long as along the road, along the way, there was a moment in time that it was, that doesn't really do it. Hashto melei park. The fact is, right now, today, at the end of the day, did he redeem it? No, practically it was meant for a mincha, it was kaddish from moment of inception, and ultimately became tummy, it became pigul. So it never had shasa kosher. Potential, theoretical, the ability to be appointed, that's not enough to give it its food status. Really, no? No, but since he could have redeemed it, he has that ability, that should be enough to grant it food status. According to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon himself teaches us that point. Potential redemption is treated like it was redeemed regarding giving it the shasa kosher advantage. V'shamin l'Rav Shimon d'Amar, who says, Kol ha'emad lipad, there's something which is slated for redemption, kipad yidam, we treat as though it was redeemed. The son, Rav Shimon ha'emad, this is by the paraduma, parametam etumas oichlan, paraduma. Even after Shechita, and it's already Asr Bahano, it's still considered food regarding Tumas Eichon. Why? Although currently it's Asr Bahano, and according to Rav Shimon, when it's Asr Bahano, it's not... At a moment in time that it could have been consumed in a mundane manner. Why? How? I'll tell you why. Rav Shimon was based on the idea that Para Niftes HaGamar Rachta. Rav Shimon would teach us that you could be Poyed, you can read. You can switch out a paradum, even though it was shechted, sitting on its firewood. If you find a nicer one, you can switch it out. So since after shechita can still be diverted for personal use and still be consumed and still considered oichel, so it retains that status. So why not do the same with the wheat? You could redeem it. That gives it food status. No, achiyashdu, you can't compare the two scenarios. Bishleim paro, I understand by the paro it works. Oimedas lepadas, it's slated for redemption. You know why? Because if you should discover a nicer paraduma, mitzvah l'vdais, it's a mitzvah to switch it out. So it has that readiness to it. So we treat it as though it was done. Elahani menacha is mitzvah l'vdais, but here by the mincha material, why is there a mitzvah to switch them out? And since there is no such factor at play, so the potential for redemption doesn't grant it food status. Okay. But you agree that if there is a mitzvah to proceed, we treat it as though it already achieved that stage. So I have a question now. V'alon lefnei zrika. Let's move on to the back to that braisa there. Rav Shimon tells us that an animal which experienced lina, a karm which had lina, which became pasul, does it lose its food status? Oh, it depends. V'alon lefnei zrika, if the lina happened before zrika, the braisa says, it never had a chance. Because it was never mutter. Zrika is what permits it, makes it edible, but if the lina, the psul, kicked in before the zrika, so it never had chasa kosher, and it's not considered food. Why? The mitzvah l'mizrike. V'boi zorak, the fact is, even before zrika, you meant to do zrika, and he has the ability to do so treat it as though it happened. It's already ready for that. It's already zrika enabled. That should give it the status of shasa kosher. It had a moment in time that it had that potential and it already gets that status of food. Uktani the Bryce insists and says, no, the in matame, it's not matame to masoichon. Why? Potential is reality. No, we're speaking that he had no moment in time to do zrika. He didn't have that potential. He didn't have that ability. You know, he shechted a second before sunset. So he didn't even get to the point of being able to do zrika. That's what the problem is. But otherwise, but suppose he would have sufficient time to accomplish the zrika. My, what would happen then? You would say, well, since it's zrika enabled, and he meant to do zrika, and he could do the zrika, it's treated as though it happened. And therefore, it's considered shasa kosher and matamat masayichlan. If that's the case, so you know when the Braisa was looking for a contrast case, why do we have to go find another extreme? Just split this case into two. Adetani, instead of going to another case of law and achasrika, if the zrika happened, then the lina happened, we say it's already achieved its food status matamat masayichlan. Why go to an extreme? Why do you have to go there? Just split this case into two. Depends if you had enough time or not. Live like. Just split this case into two. The psul kicked in before zrika. What happens? Well, it depends. Was he able to do the zrika? Then it's called shasa kosher. Otherwise, not. But when do we say there's no food here? It was not enough time to do the zrika. Then it's inevitable that it's not considered food. But if there's enough time to do the zrika, since he's supposed to and he could do the zrika, that's called shasa kosher and has the tumas eichel. That's exactly what the Bryce is saying, actually. That's exactly what the Bryce was saying. Talking about the same type of case. He did the shechita before sunset, and then lina kicked in. What happens? So, if the lina happened before Yirah, before he could even do the zrika, it was just a split moment, he had no time to do, then never had that potential. It was never on the Zrika track. It wasn't Zrika enabled. And therefore, it's not fruit. But la'acha, she'yiruah the Zrika. Suppose there was a sufficient time to accomplish the Zrika. So it was already considered on the Zrika track. It's already Zrika material, Zrika enabled. Then it's metamah tumasecha. It's considered having acquired the status of oichel. And Shasa Kosha gives it to Masoich. Okay, good. Ask the Gemara. Okay, let's move on to the next case in the price of Pigel. Another example of non-food is Pigel. Va Pigel. Ben Bekotchi Kadoshim, Bekotchim Kalam. Why? Mitzvah le Mizrike. You know, a person is really meant to do this Rika without a Machshava of Pigel. He meant to do it right. And Allah just deviates the curve, right? And if he wants, we're up to the next page. If he wants to, if he, you know, he has the ability to do so, to do it properly without pigul, and still the Braisa says, pigul is pigul, irrespective of the fact that it could have been done better. That doesn't give it oichel status. It doesn't. It's not considered shasa kosher. And then Braisa insists. Reb Shimon tells us, it's not food. Now we're assuming that the pigul happened later. He did the shechita, etc. And then by the zrika later on, he did the pigul. So that triggers this question. What do you mean? Until the pigul happened, until the zrika happened, it was shechted and it was roy to be processed properly. So why isn't that enough? My love, so we're assuming the pigul by zrika, the pigul occurred by the zrika. And that triggers this question of why? Like, no, the pigul by shechita, what happened was it never got a chance. It never got off the ground. He took an animal, which at this point is asher, that's not called chasa kosher, and he did the shechita with a machshava of pigul, so never got a chance. And that's why it's not oichel. But certainly have a pigul but zrika. If the pigul only happened later in the zrika, my, so what would happen? Achinami, the metame tumas oichel? Is that so? That will be metame tumas oichel? Because between the shechita and the zrika, you have plenty of time there. It's called chasa kosher. Since it was enabled for a proper zrika, we treat it as such, and it's considered like food. Is that true? So back again, the same questions. Why is the the Braisa looking for a contrast, for a counterpoint, has to go to a different area? Just split this case into two. It depends how quickly pigul happened. Did he have a chance or not have a chance? At the ton, instead of going to pigul by mincha, when the pigul happened by a mincha, we say it's okay for the reason we explained earlier. Why go to mincha for a contrast case? Just split this case by the animal itself. But when we say that there is no pigul and there's no food here, the pigul b'shchita, the pigul happened by the shchita, it had no chance to be considered food. Avo pigul bezrika, but the pigul happened later on by the zrika, in which case it had potential to be processed properly. Metame tumas oichel, and it has tumas oichel. If this is true. You're right, it is true, and the reason why the Braisa opted to refer to a mincha was to highlight a halacha by the mincha, which is unique to mincha. That's why we went over there. Pigul b'mincha, zrika, there was an extra reason for going to the mincha. To teach you that avogav the pigul b'kmitz the koimitz, even though he processed the klimat, he did the kmitza and the mincha in a pigul setting. The avogav of the pigul, the kmitza, the klimat, the mincha. Because although the act of a kmitza with pigul by a mincha is keshchita dami, is the first step in the process, it's like the shchita by an animal, meaning it's the initiation of the akrav, it's already been done wrong. So you think it's far gone. That's it. It's over. No, afiluachem tamid mosechon. Still matame. You know why? As we explained before, hoyel voisel shasa kosher miyikari. Since initially beforehand, it was edible. Hashasa kosher. When it was in its wheat form. Before it was committed to a mincha, that's enough to give it shasa kosher. Even though it's in a different sort of a different karsur, a different gilgul, a different existence. It's the pre-mincha existence. That's enough to give it shasa kosher and grant it food status. So bottom line is, we resolved all our difficulties. Yes, says Rav Eshia. According to Rav Shimon, let's just start from the beginning. Rav Shimon says, based on the pasuk, only food which is edible, at least by way of serving to a goy or to an animal, it needs to be mutter b'hanoa, then we say it has a status of food regarding b'makabal tumas oichon, otherwise not. Unless it had a shasa kosher, which is the focal point of our last piece here, shasa kosher. A moment of edibility, a moment of potential. That is enough to give it food status, even though currently it lost that status. One example of which is basar b'chalav, even though it's currently asar b'anah after it's cooked, but since in its pre-cooked state it's mutar, it's called shasak pesh. Now, Rabbi Yishai tells us, according to Rabbi Shimon, a mincha which turned pigul, that's it, it's off the track. It's asar b'anah, it's not food, it's not matam. The things we had a b'raisa, Rabbi Shimon himself speaking in the b'raisa, telling us, yeah, pigul by karbanos are not food, but by mincha it is. The answer was, we're talking about different cases. If the mincha never had shasa kosher, like where the wheat itself became kaddish, so it was asur as carbon material from the gecko, and then it became pigul, it was doomed from the start to the end. That's Rabbi Yishai's case. Whereas the Braisa is speaking that it was not chukdish b'mechuber, it was perfect, it was mundane material, it was not kaddish until later. So the wheat in its pre-kaddish state is considered shasa kosher, even though turned sour later, turned pigul, shasa kosher gives it its food status. What about regarding the lina case? So, according to our explanation, it all depends when. How close to shkia was the shchita? If it was just a split second which didn't give him the opportunity to do shchita, then and it became lina, then it slid right into the isser, never had a shasa kosher. But if there was enough time to do Zerika, and since you meant to do Zerika, and it's a mitzvah to do Zerika, so it's Zerika enabled, and it's as though it's on the Zerika process, on the Zerika track, it already started that process, that's called Shasa Kosher. And it's considered food regardless of the fact that it became pasul later. Rav Ashi says the Gemara, Amrita Lishmata Kamedi Rav Nachman. I presented this whole presentation to Rav Nachman, but then I added, Afu table on Mamish. Even if you're going to learn the Braisa literally, not the way we learned earlier, that if lina happened before Zerika, even if there was enough time to do the Zerika, but it didn't happen, there was no Zerika. He did the Shechita at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, lina showed up, right? Sunset, it stayed overnight before the Zerika. You can go with that approach. So even if there was potential, there was enough time to do the Zerika, it doesn't matter. It doesn't acquire food status. Hafilu teima de pigul bezrika. And regarding the case of pigul, I maintain that even if the pigul only happened later by the zrika, where technically it could have been done properly. In other words, it wasn't disabled. The animal wasn't disabled right away. Shechita was done properly in the Kabbalah and the Halacha, so you would say, well, it's on a good track and it's potentially a proper carbon. You can do and you should do and you will do, hopefully, the Zerika properly. And even if the pigul occurred by the Zerika, still, I could very much understand why it's not considered Shasa Kosher. It's not considered food and it's not Metamei Tumas Ha'Ochel. As per the literal wording in the Braisa, we don't have to go through all those explanations. Even if we assume that there was enough time till sunset, and even if we assume that the pigul only occurred later by the Zerika, it doesn't qualify. You know why? Because all the Reb Shimon told us by the Paraduma, it's called Shasa Kosher, because you could redeem it. Yeah, redemption is different. The Ibai Parakam, we do say, well, he could have redeemed it. Rashi says, redeeming is an easy job. Easy to say, it's just words. I'm paid to this for that. That we say. That's close enough to reality. We see it here. We view it here. We consider the material as though it is already nefrak, already switched out, and hashas akosh, and food. Iboi have a zark lamni. We don't say, well, he could have done zrika. Zrika is a physical act, a maisa. That we don't say. We don't say potential on that. So potential pindyon we do say, and therefore grants the paraduma food status. Not so when it comes to an act, a physical maisa like zrika. And since the fact of the matter is, it became possible before zrika. Since the fact of the matter is, lina arrived before zrika, or pigul arrived during the zrika, when the Reb Shimon, it's not food, it's not matamei tumas ha'ochel. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. In general, something which is Kedushas Haguf does not allow for pidyon except for a behema, which became a balas mum. We learned that from a special pasuk. It's downgraded to the point that you can switch it out. But not so by bird karbanis. There's no pasuk there. Typically, Kedushas Damim does allow for pidyon. The question is, just so, or because it's Tamei? It's according to Shmuel, just so. According to others, only if it's Tamei, which is a impediment for further processing. And then we had Rabbi Yishai's halacha regarding Rabbi Shimon, something which is asbar no as nama tumah tumas eichlin, right? Unless it has shasa kosher. And regarding a mincha shenis baglo, sometimes it is shasa kosher, sometimes it's not. One is an ashasa kosher, was hukdish b'mechubra, in which case it was kaddish material from the get go, and then ultimately became puzzle. In that case, it's not matamatamasech. All the best to you, and much, much aslacha.